Father, we come to the God of light. We are so thankful for your presence that is light and for your word that is a light and a lamp unto our feet. We thank you that you are a God of love. You are a God of true righteousness and holiness. And you are a God who dearly loves each one of us here. So we just now ask that you would shine into our hearts. You would have Christ shine his light into our hearts through your word. That we would learn more of you so we would know who we're to imitate and who to reflect. Oh, Father, we beg of you the power of the Holy Spirit to be our teacher and our guide this morning. And that you, oh, gardener God, would till the soil of our hearts and prepare our hearts to receive your word, and that none of it will be snatched away, but that by your grace, 100-fold fruit will be taking place in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, in our passage, there's that one verse that says, wake up. So I thought we would do something to wake us up right at the very start. So I want you to be like a child again. And we are going to play the game Simon Says. Are you ready? Does everybody know how to play it? Okay, just in case you don't, here's the rules. I'm going to tell you to do certain things, and if I say Simon Says first, then you're to do it. If I don't say Simon Says, then you're not supposed to do it. Now, just so you know, I've prayed that you will fail, and I never pray that for you, but in this case, I have. Okay, ready, girls? Simon Says, stand up. Simon Says, hug someone. Simon Says, blow me a kiss. Oh, y'all look absolutely ridiculous. Sit down. I've got some of you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. You can sit down. Simon Says, you can sit down. All right. Simon Says, take a sip of your drink, if you have one. Simon Says, say thank you to your table leader. Simon Says, put your finger on your nose. Y'all look absolutely ridiculous. And so be a good child, do what your mommy says, and get your finger off your nose. Oh, good job. Okay, enough of our game. Let's get into Ephesians. Open your Bible. I got most of you. You weren't to get into Ephesians till Simon Says. Simon Says, you can take your finger off your nose and open your Bible to Ephesians. Now, why would I have us play such a goofy game as we head into Ephesians 4:17 through 5:20? Do you know why? And I want you to shift gears with me. Because the world is full of Simon Says messages, and we've been mindlessly obeying them, practicing them, getting good at them throughout our pre-Christ life. And now God is saying, wake up, wake up. I have a different move for you in the way you live life. That was your old self. That was when you were impoverished. But there's a new self now. You're going to take that off and you're going to put on this new self. No longer, as we learned last week, are we to be like infants who are just tossed about and blown every which way with every new wind of teaching that comes around? And let me tell you, there are always new winds of teaching out there. That's not us anymore. And it's a little bit like what Kim taught us last week. He says, you've been prancing and dancing to Simon Says. That's the dance moves you've been doing. But I have a divine dance for you. I have a new choreography. I have a new steps. And let me tell you, you are a new self. Women, we are new selves. That's who we are. But now we need to make every effort to learn the new steps. And so we learned last week in our passage that Christ is our head. And he grabs our head and he says, look at me now. I'm your dance partner. Do what I do. Move where I move. And don't fall prey anymore to Simon Says maneuvers. Think through how you live, how you act, how you react, how you interact. Don't look like the world anymore. You have a new dance partner, a new head. Now learn the steps. And so Ephesians is going to teach us the portion that we're in about our new self. And in the first division, we're going to find out our new self is just created to be like God. That's who our new self is, created by God to be like him in true righteousness and holiness. In the second division, Ephesians is going to teach us that we are children that are dearly loved, who are now going to imitate Papa God. He's our new daddy. Children do what their parents do. And so our new self is going to imitate him. And then in the third division, we're going to learn that the new self is also a child who reflects the light that has shined into our hearts. Children of light reflect their papa of light. We're children. We do what daddy does. And so this is no more Simon Says women. We're going to stay with our head, our dance partner, and we're going to learn the choreography of his steps. It is never too late. I don't care if you're 80 years old. It is never too late to become what you have been designed to be. It's never too late. And so our new selves are going to become mimics. We're going to become copycats of his love and of his light. So let's begin reading in chapter 4, verse 17 through 19. So I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord. Listen to the strong language in these verses we're going to be reading. I insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking, for they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. So Paul uses this strong language. I insist on it. I insist on it. Learn the new choreography. You're no longer to live as a Gentile. And in that case, it was a pagan. In our case, it's more as an unbeliever or the Simon Says that live among us. No longer. I insist on it. You no longer live like that. And he says the reason is they have futile thinking. They have darkened understanding. Well, why do they have futile thinking? Why are their understanding darkened? Because the passage says they are separated from the life of God. But you and I are not. He is the head. We are the body. The head is very connected to the body. In fact, the head directs the body. And so we are not to have futile thinking because we're thinking with a new head now. A new dance partner that's going to tell us what to do. Now, why were they separated from the life of God? Well, the passage says it's otherwise due to ignorance. They just haven't perhaps heard about the truth of Jesus. Or it's hard hearts, which means they have heard and they've refused truth. And they've refused truth. And they've refused truth. And so either way, they have remained separated from the life of God. And I just want to pause for a moment and say, if there is someone here this morning who is still just trying to learn who God is, who is this Jesus? You know, what does this all mean? I want to say to you, that description does not fit you. And you know why? Because you're here and because you're coming back. So you don't have to fear ignorance and you don't have to fear hard hearts. The fact that you're seeking shows you are in a different camp. And God, if you keep asking him to show himself to you, he will. He will. He wants you to know the wonders of who he is. So, but anyway, they're ignorant. They've got their hearts hard. And so what happens next? They lose all sensitivity and they give themselves over to sensuality. So they lose all sensitivity to the lover of their soul and they give themselves over to human lovers. And they indulge in it. And it leads them to more impurity. And then it leads them to more lust for more. And so Simon Says out there, boy, you really get to experience sensitivity when you're very sexually active. And the head says, no, no, no. I'm teaching you a different dance. Promiscuity, sensuality of that type is actually a loss of sensitivity. And it's a chain that's going to bind you because you're going to indulge in more impurities and it's going to lead you into this continual lust for more. So we're going to listen to what our head says. That's what he's teaching us. Well, how did this downward spiral begin? It began by futile thinking. You see, we must remember three words always. Mind precedes behavior. Mind precedes behavior. The renewing of the mind over time will bring about the renewing of behavior. And so we get to read of a very different story of what Christ has done for us in verses 20 to 24. He says, "You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him. You were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. And you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new." Where? In the attitude of your minds. "And then put on the new self that is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." So now you know where I got my first division. The new self is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That's who you are. You got to believe it here first before it will come out in your actions and your behaviors. And so our shift in the cycle was very different. First of all, we heard about Jesus and we responded to the first truth that we heard about him. Then he's teaching us more and we respond to that truth. And as we respond to more truths in our lives, the Simon Says begins to be taken off, put off. And the head, the new choreography, the new dance begins to be put on because we're created for it. It's who we're created to be. And so Simon says, you know what? You've been struggling with that for years and you're never going to change. And God grabs your head and he says, "I'm your dance partner now. Change is ahead because you're created by me to be like me. Get that in your head so you live with hope. Even in the middle of the struggle, hope is ahead." And so that's the truth that we're to learn. Now, do you know that it says created to be like God? Do you remember where we first ever heard that phrase in Scripture? Genesis 3:5. And Simon Says, the head of Simon Says, that serpent, he came and he hissed to Adam and Eve. And you know what he said? He says, "If you eat of that tree, you will be like God. And you'll know good and you'll know evil." And you know all we got out of that deal? Is we got to know evil. But Jesus Christ, we were originally created in his image, but we sinned. But he came and remember, he redeemed us. He bought us out of that marketplace and he recreated us. We are new creations. And now he says to you and me again, "You're made in my image. You're created to be like me." Get that in the attitude of your minds. That's who you're going to be. And once we know that truth and we believe it, then over time throughout the course of our lives, we're going to learn the choreography of the dance of God, imitating him. And so last week, Sal, if I can get you to put up the slide. Is Sal here? He's not here. Okay, never mind. You don't need a slide. Oh, there it is. Great. There's the Fantastic Five that you had last week. And those are on the left. Those are the attitudes of the new self. Humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and love. And now this week, we're going to learn that those attitudes produce these actions. And we're going to look at what the new self is going to become. This is where you're headed, woman. This is who you're created to be. And your creator is going to see to it that this defines us. So let's look at our Fantastic Five. And I'm going to leave it up there, so don't worry about rushing to try and copy it down. The first Fantastic Five of our new self is in verse 25. "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body." So why are we going to speak truth? Because we were created to be like him. He is truth, and the only words he speaks are the words of truth. And you're created to be like him. That's who you're going to be. Well, what if you're wrestling with the old habit of falsehoods or white lies, as if there are white lies? Well, you would go back to your fantastic one from the previous week. You'll take on the posture of humility. Here's the fastest cure to lie, a habit of lying, is that the moment you realize you've lied, you put on humility, you go to the very person you just spoke a lie to, and you confess it. And let me tell you, the more you do it, the more you think twice about telling a non-truth in the future, because it's humble pie and you get tired of eating humble pie. So you make yourself be humble, go do it, and then God begins that process of setting free. Now, when I say we speak truthfully, I mean we speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We live in a society where I believe we love worshiping the God of being a victim. And do you know how we nurture that? We might tell some of the truth. We may not insert a lie, but we leave out some of the truth. We leave out some of the details, which then makes our story actually not the truth. My husband always reminds me, Julia, there are four sides to every story. There is the side each party tells, and there is the side each party does not tell. If you struggle with a victim mentality, you have got to ask for the withdrawal of the power of His grace to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Simon says, no, no, no. Worship the God of being a victim. And your dance partner says, no, no, no. Truth sets free. Are you feeling stuck? Begin to speak the whole truth so that you can get set free. And the second fantastic five is that we're not to sin in our anger. Verses 26 through 27. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. So right here we learn that not all anger is sin. There is a righteous anger. We see the anger of God in Scripture, so not all anger is sin. But it's how we handle the anger that can become sin. And Simon says, lick your wounds, keep record of the wrongs, rehearse how they did that to you. And your dance partner grabs your head and he says, oh, no, no, no. Don't keep records of wrong. In fact, keep such short accounts with people that you don't let the sun go down until you've dealt with it. Short accounts with your anger. And you know, why are we going to do that? Because God doesn't rehearse our wrongs. He doesn't keep a record of our wrongs. In fact, when you and I sin and we come to Him as far as the east is from the west, so far He removes our wrongs. Then He blots it out with His blood. And if we try and bring it up later, He goes, can't see it, can't see it. Is that how you treat people? Well, you're created to. You're created to be like Him, like that, where you don't keep record of wrong. But Simon says, oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. And Jesus says, oh, no, you don't, because you're not created for that. You're not created for that. And you know what? If we do, did you get that visual? If we keep records of wrongs, if we let the sun go down and we get silent treatment going and we just fume in our anger, the devil has a hold of your foot. His slimy tentacles are all around you. And you know who gets stuck? You. You get stuck. You can't move forward. And all the while you're rehearsing the wrongs because you think that person is stuck. No, the devil gets a foothold of ours. And God says, no, 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 no. It's for freedom I've set you free. And so we're not to do that. Do you know, when you struggle, though, with anger, we get angry. It's not a sin, right? We need to go back to the one that matches up to it, the attitude, which is meekness. Now, what is meekness? You remember little kindergarten Matt? Weak is not meek. That's what Kim told us last week. Do you know what meekness is? It's strength under control. And so if you're struggling with anger, remember you don't want the sun to go down on it, here's what you do. You get on your knees and you say, Lord, I'm not getting off my knees till you get my heart remembering how much you have forgiven me and how patient you've been with me. Now, Lord, I've got this righteous anger. Help me to find your perfect timing to deal with it within 24 hours, if at all doable, because we don't want the sun to go down. And help me speak truth and love in a redemptive way. In a way where I really want, by the end, that this person gets the flavor of you through it all. And then you go and you watch the window of time open and you speak truth in love. And that is what we're created to do and be. Well, the third Fantastic Five is verse 28. It's an honest work ethic. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands that he may have something to share with those in need. Why? Because you're created to be like him. He never has stolen. That's why you don't steal. And in fact, what's the first picture you see of God? He's working. He's working 6 days. And once he's done his work, he shares creation with you and me. You're created to be like him. That's why you're going to work hard. And that's why you're going to work hard to share. It's who you're created to be like. And so we get to mimic him. Simon says, oh, who wants to do it the hard way? Grab at it now. Take it now. Don't wait. Steal it now. Kick back. Let somebody else do it. And Jesus says, nope. You're made to be like me. Get ready for the dance of the joy of working and sharing with others. And so then the fourth Fantastic Five action is in verse 29, and it's one that's about constructive conversations. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Why? Why are we going to do that? Well, the only words that have ever come from our Creator were building up words that benefited others. He spoke creation into existence, and it benefited you and me. Every word in here is beneficial to you and me. We're created to be like him. We're created for those kind of conversations. It's where we're going. The head says yes. Simon says no, no, no. Tear them up. Rip them up. They deserve your full wrath. And God says, no, they're made in my image. Build them up. Benefit others who listen to your conversation. And you know what? That's going to take bearing with one another in love. You see number four? Because what happens is we get impatient with people and we get tired and we just want to ram them over with our words. But we're to bear with one another carefully, patiently, with long suffering. Doesn't he bear with you? I mean, aren't his mercies every new to you every morning within every 24-hour day at bare minimum? Of course, his mercies are new to you every second. Don't you have to tap into them at least once a day, his mercy? I'm telling you, there's some days, I mean, 20 times in an hour, I'll go, oh, Jesus, cleanse me. I cannot believe I just thought that again. So if he's bearing with me like that, dance with him like that. Live like that. Bear with one another. Give them mercy that's new, at least at bare minimum, every morning. Give them a fresh start. That's who we're created to be. And so then we hit this warning verse in verse 30, and he says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. You mean, Lord, when I behave like the world does and I do what Simon says does, that I grieve your heart? Oh, God, I don't want to grieve your heart. Teach me. Give me withdrawals of your grace to begin to live like this. And then the fifth Fantastic Five action is that we're to forgive as we have been forgiven. Verses 31 through 32, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, and here's the standard of forgiveness, just as in Christ God forgave you. That's the standard of our forgiveness. Now, why are we going to forgive like that? Because that's how we've been forgiven. Jesus Christ, I mean, some of his last words, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so we're created to be like him. That's just who we're going to become. We're created for it. And so that's going to require the attitude of love, going back to the Fantastic Five of last week. Love. And isn't that what we learned in Ephesians 2, which was the reason behind why Jesus Christ forgave us, that he came to Calvary, shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins? Do you remember how that all started? Out of God's great love for us, we were forgiven. And so we're going to imitate the great love of Christ. You remember the great love of Christ, don't you? That while we're over here, we're sinning, we're his enemy, we're not even trying to make a movement towards reconciliation. We're just spitting nails at him, literally. And God does the fullness of his love, and he comes all the way and brings forgiveness to you and me. We're made to forgive like that. You know, I have a friend who her daily prayer request for me right now is this. She said, Julia, pray that I will preach the gospel to myself every day so God's love will constrain me in my relationships. This is your only opportunity on the timeline of eternity to learn to love like that. You want me to say it again? In heaven, you're never going to have to learn to love hard to love people. This is your only opportunity to learn to take withdrawals of grace and love like he loves. I don't want to miss it. I want to learn to love that. I want to dance like that. Don't you? And so the first truth we've just got to come to terms with is that because I'm created to be like him, I'm just eventually going to take off and put on choices that reflect my creator because he's designed it to be that way. So I don't know which of these five fantastic fives that you need to now be asking for a withdrawal of his grace so that you can become like what you're created to become like. But because you're created to be like him, you are going to learn to take off those other things and put on these things that reflect your creator. Now, all of these that we're studying this morning are like commands coming at us. But did you know that commands are really his invitations? You say, God, I can't. I just can't love like that. And he says, I know you can't, but I can through you. So ask for a withdrawal of my grace in the moment. Invite me into the thickness of that anger in the moment and watch what I can do. And so they're his invitation to need him. And he loves it when we come to him for that. So the first reason our new selves are what they are is because we're created to be like him. The second is in our second division. We're children of Papa God who loves like that. And we're going to learn to imitate our daddy. And so in verses 1-2 of chapter 5, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. And what kind of a life of love? Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. As a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. And so our new selves are, you know, let me put it this way. Simon says, you can't keep loving like that. You just can't keep loving like that. And the head says, look at me. You're going to learn to love like that. You're going to learn to love how I loved. You're going to learn to love sacrificially. You're going to learn to do it because for him. When you can't do it for the person you're trying to love, do it for me, Jesus Christ, it says that it was an offering and a sacrifice to God. And so we're going to do it out of love back to God. And, you know, my son-in-law, my oldest daughter is married, and children look much like their parents. Otherwise, sometimes physically or even in the way they behave, and that's good news and bad news for those of us who are parents. But at any rate, in the physical realm, my son-in-law, if I were to show you a picture of him, and then I were to put up another picture of 50 women on the screen, I'd lay my life on it. Every one of you would nail his mother. Because he just looks like his mom. Did you know you're just going to look like your Papa God in the way you love? Did you just know who that's your new self? It's just who you're going to be. You may as well get on with it. It's just where you're headed. Learn to love like he loves. Because that's who you are. It's who you are. Get it up here. It's who you are. And then let him let it get out of you throughout the course of your life. And so out of his love, he showed the fullest of extent. He laid it down for enemies. We have trouble laying down our lives for people we love. But he says, I'm going to get you there. Simon says, you'll never learn to love like that. And your head says, oh, yes, you will. And so he did it for his father out of love for him. Now, how can we give out such love? Well, remember all the love you were given. That's that cup analogy. You see, keep praying. If you're struggling to love somebody, pray that verse. Lord, help me have the power to grasp the height, the depth, the width, and the breadth of your love so that I'm filled with the fullness of the measure of Christ. So that when somebody unlovable bumps into me, Christ comes out of me. That's just our new self. That's just who we're going to be. And so he goes on and he tells us a little bit of what this life of love is not going to look like in our new self first. And in verse 3, it says, but among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Now, sexual immorality can include premarital sex, promiscuity, pornography, homosexuality, adultery, lust, all of that falls under sexual immorality. And Simon says, go for it. It feels good. And your head grabs you and he goes, not a hint, not a hint of it, not a hint of it. You know why? Can you imagine Jesus Christ being a part of any of that? And we imitate him. That's just where we're headed. It's just where we're going. Let's get on with it. And so we take it off and we put on the way Christ interacts with love. And so then we go to the second one in verse 4. Nor should there be any obscenity or foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. I've heard it said that two indications of a person's character are what makes them laugh and what makes them weep. What makes you laugh? That's where this is coming after. The coarse joking and the foolish talk. What comes out of our mouths? You see, our talk is simply a mirror of our heart. Because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so if the new self is focusing on being overwhelmed that God chose me, he adopted me, he sealed me, he made me alive to God when I was dead, I'm going to have so much thanksgiving in my heart that I don't have to try to make thanksgiving come out. The overflow will come out. And so over time, the new self is not going to be about obscenities and foolish talking and coarse joking. Because a lot of obscenities, when do obscenities come out of a person's mouth? Usually when they're really angry. The opposite of thankfulness. And so and when does the coarse joking, when they make jokes about somebody that they're angry at or they're cynical about? But see, if we keep focusing on the height and the depth and the width and the breadth of his love, there's going to be such gratitude in our hearts that without trying to be thankful, it's going to overflow out into our talk. And so Simon says, no, let it rip, get it out, nail somebody with your words. And the head says, no, different dance. Think about me and let thanksgiving rule your conversation. And then in verses 5-7, he says, for of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Now, we got to dance with this one a little carefully here. You see, what Simon says, wants to say into a person's life that hears about Jesus Christ, he wants them to say, oh, go through the motions, do the confessional prayer, but then just live any old way you want, because his grace will let you, you know, just have habitual sin. Don't even feel bad about it. Don't let the Holy Spirit tug on you about it. Just because once you say those words, you can live under the banner of grace, and once saved, you're always saved. And God is saying, oh, don't be deceived. I'm not looking for people who just pipe something out with their mouth and think that just a sentence, you know, a prayer is going to do it. He says, you know what? This is because you get so changed within. I move in that I begin to come out. And so it's not about cheap grace. In fact, we're going to study Jude. And you know what verse 4 in Jude says? That they are godless men who change the grace of God into a license for immorality. We're godless if we think that's the way grace works. It is not a license for immorality. We're learning just the opposite. Grace is a power to enable us to become more like him. That's what grace is. Now, we don't have to be worried about losing our salvation if we are struggling with a sin. Because the mere fact that you acknowledge you're struggling with it is proof that you know it's not what Christ would have. I'm talking about people that live in habitual sin with no shame about it, no conscience about it, and say, well, I saved the sinner's prayer, and so I'm just going to live with that grace. That's a very different thing than the fact that we will fall into sin occasionally and we will struggle with sin. And so we know from verse 30, this is where we got to have the balance, chapter 4, verse 30, we were sealed by the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, if you and I have had a legitimate conversion experience, it is sealed by God, and God does not do a lousy seal. You're eternally secure if it's a salvation seal by God. But the warning here is, be sure it was sincere. Be sure that there was a moment in time where you received him and you understood you're not your own anymore. You were bought with a price. And now it's about honoring him with your life. And so the second truth that we're going to learn is this. As God's dearly loved child, we're going to imitate our Father's love to others. So in what relationship are you in that he's compelling you now to move away from any, perhaps, sexual immorality, or to move away from greed, or to move away from language that dishonors him, or jokes that dishonor him? Because, women, we're dearly loved by God, and we're going to imitate our Papa God. That's just where we're headed. And then the third division, not only are we created in our first division to be like him, that's one reason our new self is going to do what it does, and in the second division that we're children who are just going to imitate Papa God, but we're children who are going to reflect our God of light, our Papa God of light. And so in verses 8 through 10, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Now, why are we going to live as children of light? Because our Papa God is light. He's the light of the world. And so we're going to do that. And the more, and that's why I just pray so passionately. You have no idea how much I pray that every one of us will get our lessons done. It isn't about a lesson. It's that it puts you in the light. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It puts us in the light of his presence. And so like the moon that doesn't have light in itself, it just reflects the sun. And isn't the moon beautiful? Don't we love admiring it? The more I'm in the presence of his light, the more without trying it, I learn the new choreography. I learn the new dance steps. And without even trying, I reflect him. And so we need to be women of the word, women in the light of his word. Now, I think it's an interesting combination that he says, so that you will bear the fruit of the light. He's combined fruit and light together. Well, if you just go to the natural world, a fruit tree can only bear fruit when it has sun. It has to have the light, right? Because the light creates a photosynthesis within that makes fruit come without. And so the more you and I are in the light, the more the photosynthesis of the Holy Spirit happens within, so that he bears the fruit without. We don't make fruit happen. You know, it's not like that engine that said, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. You can't sit there and go, I think I can bear fruit, I think I can bear fruit, I think it. You don't. You just keep looking at him. You look at your dance partner. And then he shows you the move. He bears the eternal fruit through your life and through my life. And so that's what we can just expect. You can expect he's going to bear fruit in your life, the more you are in the light of his word and his presence. Expect it. That's so hopeful. And so in verses 11 through 14, he goes on and he says, but have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is the light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And so we're to be in the light. And you know why? Because we live in a dark world. Have you ever noticed how you'll come in from the bright sunshine and you'll come into a dark room and you can see nothing at all at first, right? But if you just stay there for a bit, what happens? Your eyes get used to the darkness, and then you just fumble around. And you and I live in a dark world, and we have to keep coming into the light, because our eyes, we become Simon Says-ers so quickly. We get so accustomed to it. It's happening all around us that before we know it, we do Simon Says actions, reactions, and interactions. And he goes, daughter of mine, choreography, readjustment. Get in the light of the word so Christ can shine in your heart and wake you up to the new divine dance, the steps that you and I are to learn. And so Simon says, because he's going on, you know, the word is saying here, don't have anything to do with it. It's shameful to even mention what's done in secret. But you know what Simon says is, waste time watching TV, movies, reading books, listening to songs that explicitly show you what they do in secret. Do that. Simon says, do it. Because I'm messing with your mind every time you go there. And you know what your head says that's teaching you to do the divine dance? He says, it's shameful to look at that. It's shameful. And you're wasting your time. And I need your time spent on what pleases me, because this is your only time in the timeline of eternity to learn to do a dance in front of people that's irresistible. Don't waste your time there. Don't go there. And so the days are evil. It's going on all around us. But he says, find out what my will is. Now, the mere fact that God says to you, find out what pleases me, find out what my will is, doesn't that let you know right away he wants us to know what his will is? Isn't that comforting? You know, he's not that mysterious that he won't let us know his will for our lives. But a lot of folks say, but I just wish I knew what his will was for my life. And you know, one of the things I was taught, begin asking him for the power of his grace to help you obey what you know his expressed will is in Scripture. And then he will begin to unfold the unexpressed will in Scripture about your life. We've got to learn to obey what we do know is his will, so that then he can be unfolding further specifics in our life about his will. And we need the withdrawal of the grace to do that. But we find out what his will is on some things now in verses 18 through 20. So we need to begin obeying these, all right? Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the revealed will of God is that we're to be careful what comes in our mouth and what comes out of our mouth. What goes in regards to wine, it's a freedom we have as Christians. Jesus turned water into wine. It's a freedom a believer has. But we're not to get drunk on wine. And the reason is it leads to debauchery. Now, I don't know about you, but I just don't use that word a lot in my current vocabulary. So I looked it up, and debauchery says immoral behavior, decadence, dishonesty, and depravity. So getting drunk sets you up for that. And can you see Jesus getting drunk? Well, you're created to be like him. You're his child. You get to reflect him. So if he doesn't, we don't. That's where you're headed. And so the new self is going to reflect that. So that might make his will. He's made known his will about what's to come into our mouth. And then he makes known his will of what's to come out. We're to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. What's happening when we're investing in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? He's renewing our mind. He's making us see him more and more in our heart. And before we know it, music is happening in our hearts. And out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. So if I'm tuned into that kind of stuff instead of watching what the shameful do in secret, guess what's just going to naturally come out of me? Is music from my heart that's going to be full of thanksgiving, and it's going to bless those that I bump into. Do you know, in Mark 14, 26, right after Jesus had communion with the disciples the night before he died, do you know what he then did? They sang a hymn. And then he went out to the Mount of Olives. That's what he did in his greatest trial. He sang a hymn. And that's what we're to do. So truth number three is, as God's child of light, I will reflect him in what goes in and what comes out of my mouth. That's just who your new self is. Get that in your mind. That's just who you're going to be. And so a good question is, what is going in your mouth in terms of alcohol? What is the amount that's happening there? And what is coming out of your mouth in terms of thankfulness and music and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? Well, as God's child of light, you and I are going to reflect them over time in what goes in our mouth and what comes out. It's just where we're headed. Well, I began this morning with Simon Says because I really wanted something dramatic to wake us up, O sleeper. Let Christ shine in on your heart. Whatever the masses are doing, however the masses react, interact, put it through the grid of Scripture. Whatever they're saying and okaying, put it through the grid of Scripture, because I can promise you in almost every case, your dance partner is going to say, nope, I have different steps. I have a different choreography. Don't look to the world for its counsel. Look to my word for its counsel. I'm going to teach you something very different. We are not Simon Says women. We have a head. We have a divine dance, and he's teaching us the choreography. We're created to be like God. We're just children who are going to imitate our Papa God with his love. And we're just children who are going to reflect Christ's light as he shines it into our heart. It is never too late to become what you were designed to be, an imitator of God. Let's pray. Father, how can it be? I mean, how can it be that you lavish us with such hope, that you have done so much for us to give us a future of hope? We worship you for your goodness, your righteousness, your holiness, and your love. And, oh God, now each one of us asks for a withdrawal of your grace to imitate you. In this next week, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.